Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys can have a seat. Hope you guys are all doing well, having a good day, a good week. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. If you need a Bible here today, just hold up your hand. We want to have a Bible handed out to you so you can track along with us. Keep those hands held high until the Bible gets in your hands. Thank you, gentlemen in the back there, grabbing one right now. Anybody else need a Bible? Want to follow along with us? Okay. Hold us up until you get one. Thank you. Revelation chapter 13. So we started this chapter a couple weeks ago. We had a guest speaker last week, as you know. And we started this chapter a couple weeks ago. We only got halfway through. The chapter is kind of divided up in a sense into a couple parts because we're looking at two key figures coming onto the scene during this tribulation period. Two key figures coming onto the scene. In fact, what I want to do right now is just read through the first part of Revelation 13 as a bit of a recap to what we looked at a couple years ago. It's been a few years, yes. And what we looked at a couple weeks ago. And then we'll pick it up again from where we left off last time. So Revelation 13, let's just start in verse 1 and read through up to the end of verse 10. Then I, John, speaking, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, remember who the dragon is? Satan, right? The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you here today, and we thank you for this beautiful, awesome day. We thank you for your many blessings that abound in our lives because you are alive, because you have saved us. You love us with an unending love. You have forgiven us of our sin. Lord, we have reason to come and rejoice in you here today. And so we thank you. And yet now as we look into your word, what a high point this is. What a privilege we have to sit and to study God's holy word. And I pray today that you would give me the ability to speak it in truth and in plain understanding for my brothers and sisters here today, that we can learn and grow as a result of this time in your word, and that you would speak directly to our hearts by your Holy Spirit as we look at this word now today. So we ask all this in your awesome, holy, and precious name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So here's what we've been looking at now. A couple weeks ago, as we went through those 10 verses that I just read, we've seen a few things. First of all, the emergence now of this coming world leader and ruler who is known as the beast here in Revelation 13, who is in fact the Antichrist. We've all heard about this coming Antichrist. Now, he was introduced to us in chapter 6, with the 6 seals that were released to begin with. The first seal was this one coming on this white horse, this conquering king looking figure. It was the Antichrist coming onto the scene. No doubt he comes in peace. He comes with a message that people want to hear and receive, and many people begin to follow him. But as we're looking in chapter 13 now, midway point of the tribulation, 3.5 years have passed. And this one that looked like he had all the promises that people were waiting for begins to show his true colors now. He begins to turn on the people. Just last night, we were enjoying July 4th fireworks. We enjoyed July 1st too. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Canadian through and through. We enjoyed July 1st fireworks, but it's a tradition for us to go down to Birch Bay or my mother-in-law's cabin. So we enjoy fireworks down there and down on the bay, if you've ever been there. It's just everybody lighting off fireworks. It's a free-for-all along the beach, along the bay. It's not just one community event. It's a free-for-all, and there are fireworks everywhere. And it goes all night. It's quite a sight to see. Well, last night, the tide was way up, more than I've probably ever seen it. So it didn't give us a lot of beach room, a lot of firework letting off room, if you know what I'm saying. And so it was pretty packed on the beach, and fireworks are going off, and we're enjoying them, and the sky is just lit up continuously with great explosions. It's quite nice. Well, a group beside us on the beach happened to have a bit of a mishap, and one of their big fireworks tipped over and suddenly shot in our direction, and sparks began to fly. Suddenly, a big boom went off all around us. It was pretty scary, and we had some of Cole's friends there from back in high school, and a few of the girls were sitting on the bench, and they got burns and fireworks on them. It was quite tragic, sad. They're okay now, thankfully, after a hospital visit and all. But it's interesting how you can enjoy these fireworks, and they look all glorious and beautiful, and everybody can be, suddenly these things that we are taking in excitedly can quickly turn on you and burn you. Well, this is what the Antichrist is going to be doing. He comes on the scene and everybody's, is glorious. Well, there's going to come a time where he's going to turn on all those oohs and ahs. And he's going to show his true colors. And many people are going to be burned by the Antichrist. And this is what we're seeing here in chapter 13. As the beast arises from the sea, we've already seen him introduced in chapter 6. But now we begin to see what he's really all about. He's seeking worship. Satan has always desired worship for himself. And he's going to see that fulfilled through the Antichrist, through this coming world leader. What else did we see last week? Well, we saw he's going to lead a 10-nation confederation, which is going to be believed to be this revived Roman Empire. You see, there's been six key world powers that have come on scene. We're going to talk about that later on here. But it ended with Rome primarily. But Rome never fully died out, in a sense. There's always been kind of a bit of a Roman presence, in a sense. It's never fully been conquered or died out. So there's going to be a revived Roman Empire that the Antichrist is going to be using as his vehicle, in a sense, of leading and power. We saw this idea, these heads and these horns, and the beast in verse 2, which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. These represented some of those world powers. Greece, Medo-Persia, Babylon, respectively. Daniel 7 is our kind of reference point to that. It's not something I'm just making up. Oh, this sounds kind of neat, like it might be these kind of... No, it's Daniel reveals that for us. The Roman Empire followed Greece, and the Antichrist was like these first three, in that he devoured these empires, and he's going to lead now through this revived Roman Empire. There was an apparent assassination attack on this world leader, and he was mortally wounded. He will appear to have died, but will miraculously be revived in verse 3. We saw that this feat, this so-called miracle that the Antichrist has done, causes many to begin to worship him now. And this worship is directed to Satan as well as to the beast, verses 4 and 8. And he began to kill those that were Christians and held to their faith in the one true God, verse 6 and 7. The saints, in verse 10, are not going to win through war and fighting. They will accomplish so much more through perseverance and faith. That's what they are called to do. God's going to bring retribution, and the enemy will ultimately perish and spend eternity in punishment in the lake of fire. The saints, however, may go through discouragement and trial, but they have a blessed hope in God, if they will but trust in him and keep their eyes on their eternal reward. Notice in verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. We've seen that repeated in Revelation 2 and 3 over and over, right? He who has an ear, but notice what it says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are churches mentioned here now? No, because the church is not here during this time. The church has been raptured up. Revelation 4. This is dealing with those that have turned to God during this tribulation period. Those that have become believers and Christians now during the tribulation period, they're called the tribulation saints. So, does that bring us up to speed now, or is everybody even more confused saying, oh my goodness, I need a coffee? Okay, is everybody ready to go? Okay, I just want to give us a bit of a bow. Yeah, one coffee right here. I'll take one too. So this is bringing us up to speed now. And we've seen this coming world leader. As I said, Revelation 13, there's two key figures that are being mentioned here. Antichrist, first of all. Who do we see next? Look at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, so now we see another beast emerging, and it says this time he's not coming out of the sea like the first beast. This time the second beast comes out of the earth, or it's more literally the land. Many believe that when the land is used in that kind of way, when it's speaking of the land, it's speaking of the land of Israel, many believe, which many have now thought and believed and surmised that this coming second beast is going to be a Jew. He comes out of the land of Israel. Perhaps he's a Jew. We don't know for sure. But notice the differences from the first beast. The first beast was ferocious and strong, right? I mean, it had seven heads, 10 horns, and on those horns were crowns. I mean, this thing was ferocious. It was fierce. It was a wild, ferocious kind of a beast. But the second beast not only has two horns, no crowns, and it's like he's a gentle lamb. He comes as a lamb, it tells us here. Two horns like a lamb. The beast is different because he's not a political leader, but he rather comes as a religious leader. And this is now referencing, the second beast is referencing this false prophet. Now you go, well, how did we get false prophet out of a second beast? Well, we see the false prophet mentioned in other places in Revelation. Revelation 16, verse 13, 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 10. Look at what Revelation 19, verse 20 says. Then the beast was captured, the Antichrist, and within the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So, we're going to see how this false prophet mentioned in Revelation 19 is indeed fulfilling these false signs and wonders and miracles as Revelation 19 talks about. But right away, before we get into our study, we see very quickly here now the end result of the beast times two. The Antichrist and the false prophet end up where? In the lake of fire. Don't let anything freak you out here tonight or today that we're going to be looking at here in Revelation, okay? Revelation 13 has caused many people to get kind of worried, to get troubled over some of the things we're talking about. Don't let any of these things put fear or worry into you, because we know the end of the story, don't we, guys? Aren't you thankful for that? We know that these two are not going to win in the end. They are going to be thrown in the lake of fire where they will be tormented day and night. They are going to burn forever with brimstone. They know what is coming their way. We've already seen in Revelation that Satan knows that his time is short. That's why he's coming with such vengeance and such, what's the right word to say? Such anger and, somebody help me out here. You know what I'm trying to say. What? Vindictiveness. Yeah. Any of those words will work. They're good. But that's how he comes, because he knows his time is short. He knows that he has little time. He knows the end of the story as well. May we hold that before us as we continue on here. So this false prophet is going to take this role now of a spiritual leader during this end times, this tribulation period. He's going to seek to bring people into a one world religion, a false religious system. And there's going to be more on that in Revelation 17. So we'll uncover that, unpack that a little bit more. But just understand, this false prophet, this second beast of Revelation 13, is going to come as a religious leader who's going to bring together a false religious system, a one world religion in a sense. And it's going to be the worship of the Antichrist. It'll be a unifying vehicle. It's going to be made up of politics and religion, and it's going to bring people together. It'll be all about love and peace, goodwill. People are going to get sucked into the sweet sounds of a new spirituality, your best life now, that sort of a thing, right? But make no mistake about it. Though he comes across as a gentle lamb, we see here that he speaks like a dragon, or rather on behalf of the dragon. Who's the dragon again, guys? Satan. He is not coming as a religious leader. Oh, I believe in God just like you and me. No, he's speaking on behalf of our enemy, Satan, the devil. And he's coming with lies. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 15 and 16, beware of false prophets. Jesus had already warned his disciples. This is some thousands of years before this event is going to be happening. We're at least 2,000 years from when Jesus spoke this. And who knows how much longer it's going to be. I believe the time is short. But Jesus already warned his disciples, and he warned all of us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The second beast, guys, is going to be the ultimate wolf in sheep's clothing, more like a dragon in sheep's clothing. This is the second beast, this false prophet. And Jesus has warned us about him. Guys, we have to be so careful in these days that we live that we don't just follow after people because they look the part or they seem good or they sound good. Listen, guys, we have to make sure that what people are saying is in line with God's word and that what they are doing is in line with God's will. We have to be discerning and understanding what people are saying. Is it following God's word? Is what people doing in line with God's will? We have to have those as checkpoints. We have to be discerning. We have to be engaging and judging those things, judging the fruit, not judging the person or their salvation, but judging the fruit. We have to be fruit inspectors. As Christians, guys, we have to be on our toes in these days that we live because false prophets are going to come. And they're going to come to deceive. And this is what's happening in these end times, these tribulation days that we read of here in Revelation. And with this beast, this false prophet, we see also, interestingly, the completion now of this unholy trinity. See, the second beast that comes on the scene is the third person of this trinity. Again, it's Satan's attempt to replicate God. See, just as Jesus came to do the work of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is coming into the world to point people to Jesus, what is happening here in Revelation, the Antichrist comes on the scene to do the work of their father, Satan, and the beast comes to point the world to the Antichrist. This is fulfilling the role, though, of the true Trinity, and Satan is seeking to counterfeit and replicate what God has set up. Notice here in verse 13, look at that. Verse 13 says that he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. This false prophet is going to come, and he's going to perform signs and miracles. Guys, what he's going to be doing is going to be very attractive and lure people into worshiping the Antichrist. Remember the two witnesses that came, I believe, onto the scene in the beginning of the tribulation and for 3.5 years served and witnessed there, I think outside the temple. And anytime that somebody tried to harm them or silence them, what happened? Fire came out of their mouth, man. It was just like, you know, I mean, we're not just talking like they ate some, you know, bad pepperoni pizza or something. I mean, we're talking like these guys, fire. I don't know if that's just the word of God that's just going to, I don't know exactly how that's going to look, what that's going to be, but man, fire comes out of the mouth. But now, the two witnesses have been taken out of the way because there came a time when God allowed, right, Satan, the Antichrist, to devour them, and they were killed. And then 3.5 days later, they were taken up to heaven. But now what's going to happen is this false prophet is going to come on the scene. He's going to be calling down fire from heaven. He's going to be like, oh, forget about those two witnesses. Oh, those two witnesses, yeah, they did some neat stuff, but look what I can do. And he's going to do similar things to cause the world to forget about the two witnesses and begin to listen to the false witness, the false prophet, the second beast. He's going to lure people away and cause many to forget about those two witnesses and listen to this false witness. Understand again, people, that Satan can do counterfeit works. This is why it's so dangerous when people follow after signs and wonders. Many ministries promote these sorts of things, but oftentimes it just becomes something in place of Christ. Remember what that term antichrist means? It's not just opposed to Christ. Antichrist means in place of Christ. And many times all these things that people want to promote and do, come to our revival meeting, come to our healing meeting, look at the signs and wonders we're doing, oftentimes they just become something in place of Christ. And people begin to follow after those things rather than following after Christ. Jesus himself warned of this very thing happening. Again, Jesus has laid it out for us. He says in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Even those that are saved. He says they're going to do false signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Paul wrote about this too in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 and 12. Notice what he says. The coming of the lawless one, that's the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all, notice his power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The NIV version for 2 verse 9 says that they displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. See, Satan is able to counterfeit signs and wonders to lure people in to think that this is some supernatural, godly work. It's so important, again, like I say, that we be discerning as to what we're listening to and what we're being drawn to. If miracles are causing me to focus on something other than Jesus, then it has no place in my life. If these things that people might be doing or the things that you might be seeing are drawing you to something other than the true Jesus, then you can conclude that that is not of Jesus. You can conclude that it is not authentic. Miracles, signs, and wonders are never a substitute for the clear teaching of God's word. Understand that, guys. Miracles, signs, and wonders are never a substitute for the clear teaching of God's word. And I've been in some services and circles in my past growing up where the whole focus has been on, oh man, look at what God is doing. Look at what's happening, and people are getting hit and things are happening. And it becomes almost like a badge of honor to say, oh, we didn't even have time to get into God's word. Oh, the Spirit was just moving and we couldn't even get into God's word. Guess what the Spirit wants to do? Direct you to the word of God so that you can see who Jesus is. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit is not going to interrupt himself from doing that which is most important, and that is getting into the word of God. So if you begin to hear, oh man, God was at work, God was moving, we couldn't even get into the word of God, then you can begin to surmise right there, I don't know if that's really of God. Because the way that I'm going to see God and hear from God is right here in God's word. Like we heard last week, we don't need a word from the Lord, we just need to be in the word of the Lord. We need to take up the word of God and begin to allow that word to get into us. Now notice once again here that these two beasts are able to imitate what God has done. We're seeing that throughout this chapter here. I hope you're catching that. They're able to imitate things that God has done. Fire from heaven, I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. That's going to cause a lot of people to really question, like, man, these guys got to be legit, right? They got to be legit, like a fire from heaven. I can't do that, man. I ain't seen nobody do that except these two witnesses who we knew were from the Lord. These guys got to be legit. But again, what is the message that is being said? What are the things that they're doing? We need to line that up with God's word, because Satan is able to counterfeit the things that God has done. We see it clear in this chapter. They are an imitation of the Trinity. They imitate miracles. They imitate the resurrection, right? That's kind of the focus here as well, isn't it? When we see there in the end of verse 12 that they worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So they've imitated the resurrection of Christ. They will imitate the seal of God, as we'll see at the end of chapter 13. All right? Listen, these guys are not creative. All they're doing is copying the things that God has done. They want to be like God, so they copy God. I've said it before in our midst, but we see that sort of thing very clearly with the magicians of Pharaoh before Moses and Aaron. Remember that? They were able to copy the works that God was doing through Moses and Aaron. Remember when Aaron threw down his rod, it turned to a serpent. Well, the magicians were able to have their rods turned to a serpent just like Aaron's. They were able, the magicians of Pharaoh were able to turn water to blood like that first plague. They were able to bring frogs upon the land like the second plague, just like Moses and Aaron did. They were able to copy and mimic these very things that God was doing. But that's all they were able to do, copy. You see, if you really want to show some power, how about you make the bloody waters clean? You really want to show how great you are, how about you remove the frogs? Don't add to the problem, right? See, that's all Satan can do. He can only imitate God, and in so doing, he only makes matters worse. That's what Satan can do. That's what Satan chooses to do. He can only imitate God, but in the process, he only makes things worse. But Satan is certainly able to deceive and trick people and do signs to accomplish that. All the more reason for us to be on guard and check the things. Check the things that you hear. Check the things that you see to be sure that they are of God. Check the word of God to be sure that it is in line with God's word. You know, John tells us this very thing. 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but do what? Test the spirits. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. John warned of that. He says, man, even in my day, 2,000 years ago, many false prophets have gone out in the world. We didn't check their credentials. We didn't check the things that they're saying. Check the things that they're doing. And it tells us here that he's telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Notice that there. At the end of verse 12, he's telling those who dwell in the earth to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. To make an image to the beast, sorry. Now, what is this false prophet doing? He's coming now and encouraging those who have made this world their home. That's what it means, those who dwell on the earth. The earth dwellers, those that have kind of made this world their home, they've kind of just settled in. They said, man, I'm about this world. I'm about this world system. They have no heart for the Lord. They are dwelling on the earth. And so those that dwell on the earth, he's calling them to make an image now to the beast. Perhaps it's through people's financial giving or contributing certain resources. We're not sure exactly what it's going to be that's going to, you know, cause them to make an image to the beast. But either way, a group of people will help physically build an image that will resemble and represent this first beast who is the Antichrist. Very interesting. We're not at all sure what this image is going to be exactly. In John's day, this would not be a new thing because there would be images all through Rome and surrounding areas. Images and idols were set up to the worship of the Caesars and different things like that. I mean, this kind of thing was all over, rampant throughout the day in John's day. But in this end times day, there will be a new image that's going to be set up that's going to honor the Antichrist and represent the Antichrist. We're not sure what it's going to be, but it may be that this image will be set up in the temple. And it's going to constitute the abomination of desolation that both Daniel and Jesus spoke of. We know that Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, that the Antichrist will also sit as God in the temple of God. He's going to seek to be worshipped. And perhaps this image now that's going to be built will also be placed in the temple for worship, so that when the Antichrist is not present in the temple, people can still go and worship this image and be worshiping the Antichrist in the process. Notice what else we read about this image. Look at verse 15 here. It says he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, I want you to be sure that you catch something here, okay, guys? Notice an important word here. It says he was granted. He was granted power to give. We also saw that word in verse 14. Understand this, that this false prophet could not do anything unless the Lord permits it. We need to keep that in mind, don't we, as we go through the book of Revelation. Because though we see the Antichrist and this false prophet doing some pretty heinous things, God is still in control. And Satan cannot act and do anything apart from what God gives him license to do. I'm thankful for that. That Satan can't just go about doing his business. He's got to act according to God's will and God's work. And these things were granted to him to do. So we see that the false prophet gives breath to the image of the beast. Gives breath to the image of the beast. Now this gives it the appearance of life. It isn't real life, understand that, but only breath. Some versions of the Bible might say that he gave life to the image. It's the word pneuma. It's speaking of breath here. Since breath or breathing is one of the signs of life, men think that the image lives. But John is careful not to say that he gives life to the image. Only God can do that. That's important, right? Only God can give life. This, however, is something miraculous, but also deceptive and false. It's as though this image has life. He's given breath. He's able to do something pretty incredible. Now, this image could be some kind of technological wonder, maybe some transhumanism hybrid, or it could be demon-possessed. It could be a regular idol that's just demon-possessed. Either way, it's going to appear to have life. Bible teachers a couple of decades ago would have had to have compared this idea to, you know, like what we see at Disneyland with Abraham Lincoln, you know, this robotic image, and he gets up and he gives, you know, this Lincoln address, right? And sometimes we think, oh, that's maybe what's going to be like some, you know, animatronic kind of a thing, right? We don't know. I mean, we've come so far in technology that the possibilities really become endless as to what this can be. And at Satan's disposal, again, there's even more resources that we've not even considered, I'm sure. This may be some new technology that comes out on the scene, or it just could be some new phenomena that men will wonder after. We've seen how fast technology has just increased and grown, and the things that we thought impossible even 5 years ago, we're seeing being fulfilled now today. Technology is just exploding. And so this image that's going to be erected, we have no idea what this is going to be like. And everything that we can say this is what it's going to be like is only speculative, and we can't know for sure. So this image will not only appear to have life, but it's going to also, as you see, take the life of those that don't worship him. How will it know who doesn't worship him? Well, this is where the next piece of the puzzle fits. Notice verse 16. It says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this false prophet is going to implement a new procedure for transactions and, I believe, ID. It's going to be called the mark of the beast. You've all heard that expression, I'm sure, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? But notice here, first of all, that it's going to be required by all to have it, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave. It's going to be a universal implementation now that's going to be done, that's going to combine not only religious activity, worship, but also commerce and economy, that nobody's going to be able to buy or sell except those that have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, over the years, again, people have speculated as to what this is. And some have even resisted new advancements in technology in fear that maybe they would be taking the mark of the beast. I remember growing up, man, when the debit card first came out. And you could just use your card to go to a bank machine and get... And everybody's like, debit card? It got a chip on there, man. No way. That's like the mark of the beast. I ain't taking one of those, man. I'm ripping that up when that comes in the mail. People started to panic. I'm like, man, if it helps me get money easy, I'll take it, you know, give it to me, right? Take whatever you got. I'll take your debit cards if you're throwing them out. You know, so, I mean, we can panic. You know, barcodes, when they started coming out, everybody's like, barcodes, ah, I saw one with 666 on it. Ah, that's the mark of the beast, man, I'll take it. Everything's got barcodes now. I mean, people just can kind of overreact to things that are happening. Can I just set the record straight for you guys here today? You will not accidentally take the mark of the beast. Because this mark will be linked to the allegiance and worship of the Antichrist. This is not something you can accidentally take or receive. Okay? This is going to be linked to the allegiance. You're pledging your allegiance, your devotion, and worship to the Antichrist. It's not something you can accidentally receive. I believe that we are seeing the kind of technology coming into use today that may be a precursor to this mark of the beast. I'm talking about implantable RFID chips, radio frequency identification. Now, we've seen this planted into pets for years now, but now people are getting planted with these little rice-sized RFID chips that people can get planted in the skin. Where's the most the best place to do it? In the hand or the forehead? I forget the reasons why exactly, but you know, the blood, the temperature, all that stuff is going to have less interference there. So they're realizing that the hand or the forehead is the best place to put these. Something that the Bible has announced long before they discovered this. But these things can be used for tracking or medical purposes. You can see how this could easily fit in with the program of these end times. Now, just this past week, I found news. I was talking to Rob about this. He was sharing with me the story he came across about a 15-year-old who was able to find online a chip and a do-it-yourself insertion kit, and he implanted himself with a chip that he can now use to unlock his phone, play music on his Bluetooth speakers, and share contacts just by bringing his hand up against another Android smartphone. And he did it himself. Do-it-yourself kit you find online. I'm not trying to promote anything here, but I'm just saying this is what's out there, the kind of technology that many people are beginning to embrace. Businesses are starting to offer this now to employees, where employees can have a chip where it allows them access to certain places, opening doors or turning on computers and such. I mean, this is becoming a very widespread thing these days. But again, if you were to have a microchip implanted in your body today, that does not mean that you've taken the mark of the beast. I've had all my kids planted. I've got 5 of them myself. I'm like talking to people left, right, center, passing on stuff. Here you go, take that. No, I'm just kidding. I have not done that yet, but. But because a person takes a chip does not mean they have now gone over the edge. Oh, that's it now. You're part of Satan's plan. Oh, man, oh, we've lost you. That's not the case, because it's going to come in a day when receiving this mark is to receive it for the pledging of allegiance and devotion and worship of the Antichrist. And we'll see that as we go through the book of Revelation. Again, all of this, guys, is a copy or imitation of what God has already done. See, Satan is only ripping this off of God, sealing his people, right? Believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He has already sealed 144,000 in chapter 7. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Satan is only ripping this off of what God has already done. He's seeking to counterfeit those things that God has done. So he has sealed or marked those that are his. Now, whether or not this is a mark again, that's going to be an RFID chip, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's going to be something that's literally going to be used for transactions, or it's going to be a sign that says, I'm allowed to shop here. Yeah, I got the sign, I got the mark of the beast, so I'm able to come in, I'm allowed to do my business. We don't know how that's all going to unfold. It's all speculation. And I don't want to begin to say, this is what it is. Because 10 years down the road, if we are still here and you listen to that sermon, you're going to be all like, what was that guy talking about? What a yahoo. He said it was that. Man, look at how far we've gone in 10 years. Man, that guy was saying that it was, man, it's just going to make all my sermons sound like outdated and not validated. And I have enough problem as it is just trying to get through a normal message. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not saying this is what it is. But here we're beginning to see, these could be possibilities. These could be, again, like I said, a precursor to what is going to come. I mean, look at what's going on today with virtual reality. What's that Oculus thing now? You know, maker of Facebook bringing out this Oculus thing, these goggles you put on, where now you're just like in a virtual world. And many believe that. And in fact, Intel just a few years ago have begun to incorporate technology for planting stuff into the brain, where your brain ways and sensors can pick up things and even pass things on now. And they're beginning to do these things. They're saying they're going to have this technology ready to go by the year 2020. I mean, there's crazy things that are coming onto the scene. Maybe it's going to be a virtual reality type thing where it's going to be an image of the beast presented to you, or it's going to be something that's going to go into your brainwaves in a sense where you are worshiping this thing. Who knows what it's going to be? I don't know. All I do know is that I'm not going to be here, and I don't have to worry about it. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to start thinking these things through. If you are sitting here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you see, Jesus has spared us from all these things because all this that is going on is going to be a part of the judgment of God. He's going to allow Satan to have his way to some degree because this is the judgment of God that's being poured out upon a world that has rejected Jesus as the Son of God, as their personal Savior. Jesus died on a cross to take the judgment of God for us. And those that have put their trust in Jesus, looked to him and said, yeah, I'm a sinner and I need you, Jesus. Those that have done that are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're marked as his. And there's coming a day when he's going to deliver you out of this world before these things come. I'm so excited for that. But I'm saddened, too, to think of those that are going to be left behind. And there might be those thinking, ah, you know what, I may not be right with the Lord right now, but when that stuff comes, trust me, I'll get things together. And again, if you're not willing to stand for Jesus now, what makes you think you're going to be able to do so then? When Satan is coming with lying, deceiving signs and wonders, where even the elect can be deceived, don't put it off, guys. The day of salvation is today. Now is the day of salvation. Give your life to the Lord. Be spared from these things. Find life and freedom, forgiveness of sin. Find freedom in Jesus today and know that we have an eternal hope of glory awaiting us. Well, let's wrap this up here. So again, he's imitating these things of God by the seal. Remember again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God gives, you know, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you shall write these things down and put them on your wrists, your hands, and your foreheads. Even today, Orthodox Jews will tie these phylacteries with the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, there in the phylactery around their forehead or around their wrists. And here's Satan saying, hey, you're going to take a mark. You're going to put it on your forehead or on your wrist, imitating the things of God. Look at verse 18. Let's wrap this up. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Man. How many old timers here remember DeGarmo and Key music group? Anybody? Yeah, remember the song 666? Okay. I just every time I go through this verse, you remember it, Renee? DeGarmo and Key. Yeah, great group. They had a song 666 and it was talking about this. And just that song goes through my head. So I just want to share that with you guys. I hope that blessed you today. I'll maybe play it later. So let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. In the Greek and the Hebrew alphabet, there are no separate numbers, letters used. There's just a letter, basically, that also corresponds to a numeric value. Okay? Here's the Hebrew alphabet here. And so we see that each letter, starting on the right side, because I read right to left, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, I have no idea if I said those all right, but just pretend I did. And so we see that, you know, they have a numeric value as well to it. That is, their numbers too, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can see it that way. Now, so many have kind of looked at this and thought, okay, number 666, it's going to correspond to his name, perhaps, something like that. It's interesting how certain products, I'm just going to give a little side note here, certain products today seem to have been catching on to this idea of maybe 666 and the Hebrew letter. Look at the company Monster here, okay? Now notice that it's an M, you think on the can, right? But doesn't that look very similar to three of the Vav letters in the Hebrew alphabet, which correspond to number 6? Monster 666. Now you're all looking at that. Come on now, Brent. That's getting a little bit conspiratory. Hey, notice what their campaign says. Unleash the beast. Oh, well, isn't that interesting? Could it be Satan? Okay. Okay, listen, let's move on here, okay. So, again, many people have played around, you know, with the kind of names of maybe what, who this Antichrist is, or, you know, all that's being said here, the number is 666, right? And they begin to throw out names of people in the numeric value to try and figure out who the Antichrist might be. For instance, you know, back in the day, I mean, Henry Kissinger's name equaled 666. Many thought, oh, Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist. That theory had quite a following a few years back. Nero Caesar, you could take his name and equate that to the numeric value of 666. And again, there are many in John's day that believe that the Antichrist may be Nero, who was in fact a brutal emperor, led a vicious persecution against Christians. Now, there are many other ideas, you know, Prince Charles of Wales, and of course you can take that to the extreme, right? Barney the dinosaur equals 666. If you take cute purple dinosaur, it equals 666. Is that the Antichrist? Now, we may be onto something there, I don't know, but that's the idea that people can really begin to run with these things. It can get very strange. Many theories out there. Listen, the universal barcode has three sets of six bars, making 666 on everything you buy. The prefix of the World Bank is 666. The www of the internet is 666 in computer language. There's, man, you could just go on and on as to, this is it. This is the mark of the beast. This is it. It's 666. There it is, you know. I mean, we could just go on and on. Now, one theory, let me just read what Calvary Chapel Pastor Gene Pensiero says. One theory points out that the letters of Jesus in Greek adds up to 888. 666 may be a satanic counterpart to the name of Jesus, or 666 may be God's evaluation of such a satanic counterpart. It falls short. As compared to the number 888, the number 666 may signify, again, an unholy trinity. It may be a human and demonic imitation of God, inherently falling short of the perfect and true. 7 is the number of completion and totality, and 6 doesn't quite make it. Again, it falls short. So we could be looking at 666, Satan the dragon, Antichrist the first beast, the false prophet the second beast, this unholy trinity. It could be that 666 is just, again, that number of man falling short of God's completion, number 7, or Jesus's number of 888. Again, all different ideas. He goes on to say this, the next world ruling empire will be the future revived Roman Empire of the Great Tribulation. We talked about that at the beginning. It is, in a sense, a repeat of the sixth kingdom, Egypt first, and then Assyria, then Babylon conquered it, then the Medo-Persians, then Greece, and then Rome. And historians like to point out that the Roman Empire has never really been totally eradicated. So the revived Roman Empire of the Great Tribulation will then be taken over by Satan's beastly prince. It is, in a sense, another repeat of the sixth kingdom, Rome of the past, the revived Rome of the future, and the revived Rome ruled by the beastly prince in, or is the sixth world ruling kingdom repeating itself three times. Thus you get 666. 6, by the way, is in the Bible, and it is the number of man, because man was created on the sixth day. Mankind will never progress beyond this sixth kingdom. 7 is the number of completion and perfection. Jesus will establish his kingdom of heaven on earth, the seventh, the final, the complete, and the perfect kingdom. So, all different ideas, different ways you can look at it. The issue is that it is the mark of a man, and we have to realize, again, we can speculate and theorize until we're blue in the face, and it'll still only be theories. The focus is not to be on the Antichrist. This is a mark of man. We're not to put our trust in man. We're not to lean upon man or a worldly system, but we are to look to Jesus and place our trust in the true Christ, not the Antichrist. Put our trust in Jesus Christ, and that is to be our focus. Guys, don't waste your time trying to find out who the Antichrist is. Don't waste your time trying to add up 666 and people's names and putting them to the Hebrew alphabet now and going, oh man, this could be something here. Stop wasting your time with that stuff, because we know that the Antichrist is not even going to be revealed until we as the church are taken up out of the way. That is exactly what Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5 to 8. And it says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. What is restraining? It's the Holy Spirit at work in and through the church, that's holding back the forces of evil from just being unleashed. But when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way through the church, it's not that the tribulation time is going to be lacking the Holy Spirit, but the tribulation time is going to be evil because the Holy Spirit's work through the church is going to be taken out of the way. And when he that is restraining is gone, he may be revealed in his own time, the Antichrist. For the mystery of lawlessness is already worked. Only he who now restrains, the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Just jump right to Revelation 19. Now, Paul says, I'm not going to bore you with all that image of the beast stuff. And he's going to be revealed, but then the Lord is going to consume him with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's what we read in Revelation 19 at the beginning. So, we're not going to know who the Antichrist is. And I don't even care. Because I just want my eyes, my heart, my devotion to be on the true Christ, on Jesus Christ. That's all I'm concerned about, guys. I hope you guys are too. So don't get distracted with this other stuff. Don't let anything get in the way of your devotion to Christ or take the place of Christ. That's what an antichrist is. Don't put your hope in this world system or in man. May your focus and your hope rest solely in our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah has some good words for us to end. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Man, that's the kind of man I want to be, whose hope is in the Lord and remains fruitful. Serving the Lord, doing the Lord's work, until the Lord returns or takes us home. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's where my hope is placed. May yours be placed in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you are doing. And Lord, as we look at these end times events, this program that's going to be unfolding, Lord, we still know that you are the one in control. And you are the one that reigns. And so, Lord, we look to you. We wait upon you. We hold on to you. We thank you that you have saved us and that you have spared us from all these things that are coming. Lord, we're not immune from tribulation and trial. Lord, we know that the judgment of God has been taken care of at the cross. And we have received your mercy and your grace to forgive us of our sin and to give us new life in you. And so we thank you for that. So may we hold on to you and live for you in these days that we live that are getting increasingly more wicked and difficult to stand for you. But Lord, may we be clothed in that armor of God. May not be something we have to put on each day, because it's already on. Or we're walking in that armor of God and being protected, that we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not allowing the enemy or this world to have its way. So help us to live faithfully for you until we are with you. And while everybody has their eyes closed, nobody's looking around, I just want to ask today, as we have mentioned what Jesus has done for you. Jesus came to this world to die on a cross to save you from your sin, which has kept you from God, kept you from life in God. And he died on a cross, taking the judgment of God, the wrath of God, for you in your place, that you might be spared from that. And on that cross, a beautiful exchange took place. He took all your sin and all your wickedness. He took that from you, and he gave you his righteousness, so that you could be a child of God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you just to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. But I want you to make that declaration today that you're saying, yeah, I'm a sinner and I don't know where I stand with God. I don't know what's going to happen if I die. But I want to know. I want to know that I'm going to heaven and I have life in Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know that for yourself, but you want to know, you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand, because he loves you, he died for you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. And if you're here today and you want to raise your hand to declare, I want that life in Jesus, I want my sins forgiven, you can do that. Anybody like to receive that free gift today? All right. Well, Lord, we again thank you so much for the life we have in you. May we live them for you, faithfully, wholeheartedly, Lord. May we give ourselves. Lord, I pray that the things that we look at in Revelation, that it would give us a heartbeat for this world, for the lost and the dying. That, Lord, as we take in from you, that we'd go out now and all this week, we'd be giving it out, Lord, to people. We'd be sharing the good news, the gospel, people. Lord, fill our hearts with a compassion and a passion for the lost. That, Lord, many would come to know you as their Lord and Savior just by us sharing the gospel with them. Lead us in that. We pray for the team coming this weekend, Lord, that you give them safe travels and that you would bless the weekend and the week ahead that they'll have in Vancouver just in training people and sharing the faith. Lord, may we see much fruit abound as a result. Give, Lord, lead us and lead us to people that will just have open hearts and open ears to hear the good news and that they would give their lives to you. So have your way with that, Jesus, we pray. We ask all these things in your awesome name. Amen.